Welcome to the Monday, September 12th, 2011 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm recording today from Baltimore, Maryland. Let's start with Microsoft's September patches, which Microsoft plans to release tomorrow on Tuesday. Interestingly, Microsoft released the bulletins on Friday and left them up for a couple of hours. The bulletins were in line with expectations, even though some had still some small errors, typos and such that, of course, will probably be fixed in the final version. It isn't really known why the bulletins appeared early, but possibly the move to a different URL naming scheme caused the problem. This month, or September, Microsoft will use a slightly different URL scheme in order to support different localized versions better. Now, we used the preliminary bulletins to give you the usual Microsoft patch matrix. However, realize there were no patches, only the bulletins were released at this point. The bulletins themselves, again, you know, no major surprise there. I don't think it's going to cause much of a problem in the sense that exploit writers really don't get much out of these bulletins. In particular, this month, it's really all sort of expected stuff anyway that really shouldn't lead to any new exploits by just knowing there is a bug like that. And I hope the matrix will at least help you a little bit to get ready for Tuesday. San Diego and the surrounding area had a widespread power outage to fight with, starting late on Thursday and lasting into early Friday. However, we did not see any significant related outages of network infrastructure. Looks like all the UPSs and generators did their job and the disaster response plans worked. Hotmail and MSN had an outage at that time, but that outage was not related to any power issue. The problem with the power outage was traced to a long-distance power line that connects Arizona and California, combined, of course, with an overall high load in California at the time that led to this widespread outage. And in the wake of the attack against DigiNotr, a hacker who claimed responsibility for the attacks against DigiNotr and Komodo also claimed to have attacked GlobalSign. That's another and actually pretty large and significant certificate authority. GlobalSign stopped issuing new certificates as a result and then performed an internal review of its system. The results are out now, and GlobalSign states that the main web server was recently compromised, but no fake certificates were issued as a result. The breached web server is used for their main www.globalsign.com website, but it's isolated from the rest of the network, in particular the certificate operation, which is a good thing. And if you remember, DigiNotr, one of their problems was that they did not have much separation inside their network. On the other hand, the attacker really only claimed that he had the private key for www.globalsign.com, which he may have very well had as a result of the compromise of the web server. But of course, that key is different from the key that's being used for signing. With all the attention on SSL, of course, we had plenty of diaries covering it. I'm going to do a quick review of SSL and a little bit more into depth, sort of technically, on some of the finer points of SSL in this month's thread update webcast at 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. The webcast itself will be recorded, but this is the time and we'll stream it. And a couple of researchers from the GodEye group, if I pronounced that correctly, took a closer look at similar domain names. They call it doppelganger domain names. Essentially, what they did is they took the Fortune 500 companies and then they tried to register domain names that were similar to their normal main domain names. So essentially, typo squatting is sort of another name of doing this. If typo squatting is usually done, it's referred to a technique where you essentially registered domains that are likely misspellings of well-known domains. You just put some ads on them, which is pretty harmless. Now, they went a step further. What they did is they actually then set up mail servers to receive mail at these domains. And, well, after 6 months, they ended up with 120,000 emails, many of them containing confidential information. Of course, there's a little bit of an ethical problem here. Did they have permission to do that? Not really, but do you really need permission to set up a domain like that? They did delete the email, so they did try to protect themselves this way. However, they also point out that some of these typo domains for well-known companies are registered by entities in China and such, and they may be doing just that, where they try to essentially get these typo emails. Personally, I ran this problem with two domains I own that are accidentally similar to other domains, other companies, and yes, I have received email in those cases that was directed to the wrong domain. Sometimes I send a polite reply back informing of the problem. Sometimes just delete, so it depends on how significant the particular email is. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.